Liberty Church. If you're visiting with us, please, downstairs at in the cafe, there's a table for you with some people there that would love to meet you if you're visiting with us, and love to give you a gift as well. So please let us extend that warm welcome to you downstairs, and you'll even get a cup of tea, which is even better, isn't it? Like, being Irish, like, tea is everything, isn't it? Tea is the new gold. Tea has always been the goal. You know, coming up in the next few weeks, can I just give you these, Eddie, and just pass them all back so everyone can have one and the same on this side. After Easter Sunday, Easter Sunday is always a great time to invite people to church. People want to come to church. They're only waiting on your invitation. How did I get to church? My friend invited me. It wasn't an angel came. It wasn't like a bolt of lightning hit me and said, oh, I need to go to church. We're waiting on the invite. So look this week and see who you need to invite. Easter Monday starts a conference with the Assemblies of God, which we're a part of, called the Dream Conference. It is down in Johnstown, just 40 minutes or 30 minutes down the Minute Road, the N7. Is that the N7? And you can book in still, or you can come as day visitors, and I would really, really encourage you. It's a great opportunity for the kids, for you, to meet people that as part of who we are as a movement, as a family called the AGI, Assemblies of God Ireland. Great speakers, great Bible studies in the morning, a time just to meet the family, to be encouraged that we belong to something that wants to impact a nation. That's what we belong to. That is the vision of AGI. So look at them. We're too late for the early rate, but like, it is a good deal. It will be a great conference, and I encourage you to get there. Yeah? There you go. Praise the Lord. We just got a prayer request. Let's pray for this person. I think her name is Catherine, if I can read it right, who has cancer, and it's at the stage where they can only make her comfortable at St. Francis, and we've been asked to pray. So we're going to pray for this. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for your wonderful presence. We thank you for your peace. We lift this lady before you, Father. And Father, we just declare over her life, Lord, peace and salvation in Jesus' name. We pray, Jesus, will you have the last word over our life? We hear, we recognize what the doctors are saying, but we say, Jesus, will you have the last say? We just say, Lord, open the door of her room in the hospital and enter in, Lord, and bring you to the table, Lord. Lord, we ask for her family, we ask for her friends, we ask for those connected to her, Lord, for the peace of God, the comfort of our Father. Healer, raise her up, Lord. Raise her up, Lord. Crush cancer, Father. Crush it, Lord. Be glorified in this situation, Lord. Bring your people into her world, if they're not already there, Lord, that knows you, Jesus. Open the way for the nurse, the doctor, the individual that's to bring the good news to this lady, Lord. Visit her, Lord. Visit her, Lord. We all say, amen. 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 Well, the top of the morning to you. This is what we have in the calendar, in the Christian calendar, as we call it Palm Sunday. Did you hear about that? The big calendar that was released actually from the EU, like this, like, big calendar that they produce and they release to the whole world. And in fact, the only holidays that weren't actually in the thing were Christian holidays, or days that are sacred and holy, and that we hold in high esteem as Christians. And they said it was an oversight, which is really, really incredible oversight. And for the first time that I've ever read anywhere, it probably is not the first time it happened, but the Christian church in Europe kicked up and they gave out stink, and they approached their MPs or the MEPs, and they approached Brussels, and he says, no, this is precious to us. And you know what? I just looked down and I was like, there's a stirring happening in the church, because normally they could say anything about Jesus and we would ignore it. They could say anything about Christianity and we go, oh, we just sit back and take it all. If you said it about certain other religions, there'd be murder. And we just tend to sit back, and for the first time and I see as a stirring going on that we're like, hang on a sec, we're here. And our voice is going to be heard. And so this is an important eventful Sunday in the life of the Christian calendar. And we're looking back on the cross. we're looking back on the victory. You know, we're looking back on what and celebrating what has already happened for us. And we can look at this in a whole different light because we're looking back on it. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21 and stick your finger also in Psalm 24. Lord, I just say, continue to work amongst us, Father. Take your word. Take your word, Lord, and break it open to us. Deliver us this day, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If someone's talking to you beside you without listening, get them a slap in the head. It does get a bit disrespectful, guys. Let me just speak to you as a father of the house. If someone's up here and you're yapping, that's disrespectful. If your kid done that, you would tell them that's disrespectful. If your child wouldn't listen to an adult, you should be telling them it's disrespectful. So stop being children. Okay? And listen, because this word can transform your life and you listen to someone gabbing on about coffee, tea, something that's useless in the life of eternity. It's very important. When we're children, we do childish things. But as we grow up, we put childish things away, yeah? So if they're talking to you, say, speak to the hand, I'm not getting into trouble. I don't want to miss out on a life-giving word. Because sometimes it's tempting to go down and slap you myself. Sometimes it's tempting. And you know what? Like, I'd probably play myself second fiddle. But when someone like Eddie has something to say, and I heard people talking, I'm like, that's not right. I'm not giving out. But I am giving out. I am. Come on, let's give out. And what about the carpet? And who left the lid up in the bathroom? Let's go on, I want to talk. Congratulations on your engagement. Yes, and they have got engaged. You're a romantic beast. You went all the way to Paris and got engaged. That's romance. Amen. I'm a bit all over the place. Let's read. I just want to bring some things to us. Eddie said about how do you stop being a Christian that goes from Sunday to Sunday. And I'm hoping that some of these things that I'll tell you today will actually help us in just living hand to mouth type of thing as a Christian. It says on chapter 21 of Matthew, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt and the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that follow start shouting praises to God. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. There's a duality of the entrance of Jesus and the praises of the people that he was entering in into the city. Come Friday, he was going to be nailed to a cross. Within a week, he was going to be risen from the dead. And Jesus is coming in, and they see him coming in. And if you read just back from that, it was only after healing two blind people. And all the crowd was like that, knew these blind people, and all the people that were there at the time. There was a couple of thousand people in Jerusalem at this stage of the week and of the Passover and of the feast that was coming up. So it was well packed. And Jesus was coming in. And like, if he was going to be a king that was going to take over military-wise, he would have come in on a white horse, a white stallion, because that's the way he came in. But God wasn't doing a man's way. God was doing it his way. And he came in on a donkey in being gentle, being meek. And the people started throwing their clothes down on the ground, their cloaks, their mantles on the ground, because that's what you've done for dignitaries. That's what you've done for royalty. When they came in, they paved the way for Jesus to come. And what they were doing was, in the entrance of Jesus coming in, they were acknowledging that this guy, this was not just another prophet, this was not just another, that they were doing homage that they would do to the king. Spreading their garments was an act of submission. They were taking off their mantles and they were throwing them down, saying that we are in submission to the king that is entering in. The palm branches were a symbol of victory on Roman coins. There would have been a palm branch, a victory. They made garlands out of victory garlands that they would wear after they'd won a victory, or the king would wear the garlands showing that he was the one that was in control of the victory. So the cloaks and the branches had huge significance in what Jesus was doing. He did not come on the white stallion. He came as the Prince of Peace, not to destroy governments, but to save men. Not to pull down, but to build up. He was attracted. When Jesus comes in, the people start saying, you are the king. The people start saying, you are the one that is going to lead us into victory. And yet their thinking might have been a little bit twisted, because they wanted him to overtake the Roman Empire. But out of something that was deep in them, they were acknowledging who Jesus was. If Jesus comes into a place, and we want Jesus to come into a place, it is important to acknowledge who he is. The one word that has swamped their minds and their spirits since the beginning of liberty, particularly in this building, was, who do we say that Jesus is? What Jesus are we going to offer people? What Jesus are we offering you? What Jesus are we saying that is in their midst? Is he some type of person that can just make us feel good? Or is he just some teacher? Is he just another prophet? Is he someone that we need to add all these things to? Or is he God? Is he King? Is he Yahweh? Is he the one that was seated, the one that created the heavens and the earth? That we says we want to present the people, not Jesus and this and this and this and this. We just want to present Jesus to you. Because when you get him, you get everything. You get peace of mind, peace in spirit. You get salvation. You get a hope, a plan, a future. You get friends. You get community. You get heaven on earth when you get him. So we're not going to say, yeah, here's Jesus, but we want to give you all these other things that man has come up with. Because we're acknowledging that he is incredibly brilliant. And in all of this, the people were praising Jesus. They were singing, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Which means saves us, or it's a high exclaiming of praise to somebody. And God is attracted to praise. See, if you want to know how not to be, a Sunday Christian, I'm going to tell you how to make Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday becomes the new Sunday. That you live a life of praise. You live a life of acknowledging who Jesus is. That when you get up in the morning time, how crazy you might feel at the beginning, you acknowledge him. That you're the king. I'm opening up my gates. I'm opening up my city of who I am as an individual to you, because God ascends amidst the joy of praise. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That he comes down and makes himself a home when the people of God start to know who he is and acknowledge who he is. In fact, it brings a whole atmosphere that's beyond this atmosphere that we live in. Praise brings the king. Praise is not something that we do because the king is in the house. Everywhere in the Bible, when Jesus turns up, or God turns up, or even an angel turns up, the expression from everybody was to worship. So when God turns up, we can't help but worship him. But praise is a faith thing. Praise, we don't praise because he's in the house. We praise him to attract him to the house. We praise him to acknowledge him. We praise Him to attract Him to our lives. We start praising Him in who you are, what you've done, what you've shown us. You start thanking Him for what He's done in your life, in what He's done outside of your life. And somehow heaven comes down when you start praising Him. Because worship is an act of God turning up. But praise is an act that you cause God to turn up. You get me? And He promises that He dwells in that atmosphere. He says, when I find that atmosphere anywhere, I come and I rest in it. And my presence is made known. And that's why when we praise God, we start, when He comes as a result of the praise, we start worshiping Him. We start doing funny things like kneeling down. We start doing funny things like weeping because He's in the house. But what causes Him, what attracts Him to that is that we praise Him. And here's what Psalm 100 says. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. So what's praise? It's an entering in. It's acknowledging I'm here. I don't feel that. And there's mornings when I've come up here and this place has been, it's been like a tomb. It's been so cold. And I start singing God. I enter in. I've come in here to say, God, I've come to seek You this morning. There's no one else around, so I can jump up and down, holler, dance, run around. So I don't need anyone else to applaud me. I don't need anyone else's approval. Here I am, Lord. And you know what, Lord? It's really freezing in this place. And you shake, not because the Holy Spirit is upon you, you shake because you're freezing. And you start singing. You start thanking Him because you've entered in with thanksgiving in your heart. And you thank Him that He's your Father. See, praise is an act not only of thanking Him, but when you thank Him, it's also a declaring of who God is. So I'm in here and I'm going, Lord, I thank you for Your presence. Because I've entered in, now I'm thanking Him. I feel cold, but I thank Him for His presence. And what am I doing? I'm declaring that God is the everywhere God. I'm declaring by saying, I thank You for Your presence, that He's the near God. He's the God that comes near to us. So I'm not only thanking Him for something, I'm declaring who He is. I thank You that You're my Father. And what am I declaring? That God is a good Father. I thank You for Your provision, Lord. I'm declaring that You're a provider for me. I thank You that You're good. I thank You that You're kind. I thank You that You're generous. And all of these, thank You. And He comes. And somehow even the air heats up. And then you just go, Lord, I worship You because He's here. And it changes the atmosphere. He says, I'll enter your gates. You enter. I enter with thanksgiving. I come into your courts with praise. I praise You for what You've done in my life, Lord. I praise You that I'm saved. You're declaring Him when You're praised that He's a Savior. I declare, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that Your blood washed me clean. You're declaring the cross of Calvary when You do it. He can't help Himself. He's like, angels, I see us later. I have to make myself manifest in that place. And you know He's there. And for me, when He comes, I just want to cry for some reason. Because when He comes, there's always a physical manifestation from the human. Some people cry. I've laughed. I have laughed. I have laughed. Not like it's a good joke. Not like I love the Marx Brothers and I have laughed at the Marx Brothers. But it's not that laughter. It's something that comes out of the deepest place that's in you. Jesus calls it the innermost being. The word for innermost being is the word kaloia, which means the womb. And what's birthed of God in the womb, it comes out like a river. And if he births joy in there, it comes out like a river. And I've laughed so hard that my sides hurt, my back hurt. I was making sounds that you couldn't believe was coming from a human being. But I still didn't want it to stop. Everyone's looking at you. That made me laugh even more. Honestly, Sharon will tell you, Sharon was looking at me, get up off that ground. I'm just laughing at her. I wanted it to stop, but I didn't want it to stop. I wanted the pain in me back to stop, but I didn't want it to stop. Because when He came, there was a manifestation. He came one time and I was crying so hard that I was on the ground like a woman in labor. And my friend came out and he says, you know what, you bared it. You know what you birthed there? You birthed it at church. I'm looking at you, kids. Before any of you ever came across us, before any of you were even born again, I was on my face somewhere, like a woman in pain holding me back. Like, because he came, there's always some physical manifestation when he comes. But he comes when we praise him. That we can change an atmosphere into heaven's atmosphere. It's like a woman, or Paul and Silas was in prison. They were after being beaten to a pulp in the inner prison, in the stocks, in the chains. They're looking at their sores, they're looking at their beatings, they're looking at each other. Man, you took one there, didn't you? You took a big slap across the face. You took a big something across the head there. What will we do? What will we do? Will we pity ourselves, Paul? What will we do? Will we say we paid too much of a price to being a Christian? Will we say, I'm not following Jesus anymore because I've taken a beating that put me within an inch of living? The Bible says they started praising God. They start looking up to heaven. And they start thanking God for who he is. And thanking. Imagine Paul saying, Lord, I'm in bits. But I thank you for Jesus. I thank you I'm not a Pharisee anymore. I thank you I'm not someone who knew it all, that had to live up to the law. I thank you for the grace. I thank you that I can receive grace by faith in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the peace that comes with that. Lord, my eye is gushing, but I thank you for the peace. And they start to fill up this cell, this inner cell, with praise of thanksgiving and declaring God who God was. And he turned that atmosphere of death and destruction and doom and gloom into a place where heaven was attracted and angels came and opened up all of their stocks and chains and opened up every single prison cell that all the other captives that was in there were set free. Incredible. Incredible. Not only did praise affect their chains, but it affects everyone else. Can you imagine the others in the other cells? Would you ever shut up singing in there, you mad Christians? And afterwards they're saying, my goodness, you saved my life. Imagine them going, how can you sing at a time like this? To afterwards, are we going to a prayer meeting? Who's leading the worship at that next prayer meeting? Because there's power in that prayer stuff. But their singing and their declaration attracted heaven. That's what I'm trying to say. It attracted the King. Jesus, the duality of Jesus, yeah, he was entering in, but he entered into praise. He entered into this incredible symphony of people crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. And we're looking back on this, and we can go, you know what, I know what attracts God. No matter what I'm going through, when I start lifting up his name, he comes. And I can change every single atmosphere. Every single atmosphere. Grab your husband, grab your friend, grab your child when you go home. And declare God and see him come into your room. See him come in. He's the God that wants to come near. He's the God that wants to inhabit the praises of his people. He's the God that turns every single atmosphere. Praise transports us into another realm altogether and transports another realm to where we're at on earth. And praise brings God. Praise brings heaven. Praise brings the kingdom. It's like he says, look, and out of praise he comes, and then you fall on your face because he's here and you worship him. But that's the key to bringing him to our place. And the Bible is all full of all things to do with praise. Declaring thanks is praise. Clapping hands and looking in Psalms. If you want these notes, I'll give you them after. Musical instruments and dancing is praise to God. Singing songs is praise. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs is praise. Making a joyful noise. I'm just so thankful that, like, God doesn't say we're going to have a little X Factor competition and all those who can really sing can bring heaven to earth. But the rest of you that just sound like noise, you're not getting me. But a joyful noise even. Done from a pure heart. And a heart that wants to seek God. God says, I'm there like a light. I'm there in a heartbeat. I'm there for you. When the king called Solomon entered in to his city, says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39, that Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, long live King Solomon. and all. Sorry, no, it's just a little mixed up. And all the people went up after him, playing flutes, rejoicing greatly, so much that the ground shook with the sound of the people. Praise is something to be expressed. Praise is something that you can't do inwardly. It's like it has to be expressed in some way that is loud. So hell, we don't have to be a quiet church. We don't have to be a quiet people. We don't have to, because we can sit in silence in worship. We can sit in silence in meditation. And there's all other expressions of this. But when you talk about praise, you don't see people at the match when someone scores a goal. You don't see them just going. They're jumping up and down because it's an expression of praise. Well done. It's something that is to be celebrated. And when King Solomon came in, the whole people went so wild that the ground shook. That the whole ground shook. It says when Jesus came into the city, because of the people's praise, because of their shouting, it stirred up the whole city. It stirred up. You know, we have the capacity as Christians to stir up the city. Not just because, or as a result of our praise to God. You go into work. Don't go in on Monday like, oh, it's Monday. Bob Geldof's, I don't like Monday. Go in like praising God. And you'll see people like looking at you. What's wrong with you? How come you're happy? How come you've a glow on your face? Some people say, I don't know how to share Jesus with somebody. I guarantee you, live a life of praise. And they'll say, tell me about your Jesus. Amen? Amen. Like, moving. I don't know how my notes. Sorry. Psalm 24. One of the great psalms. One of the loads of songs have been sung about it, and it's caused lots of songs to be written. And some say it's about David when he was bringing the presence of God back with the ark, and that's what it's about. I think it has much more dimensions to it than just that one situation. But in verse 7, it says, lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And it says in this, and it's a picture of Jesus, a picture nearly of what we read out first in Matthew, when the King is coming in. Because you know what they said? Who is this? And someone says, it's Jesus. When other people were asking, who is this fella that thinks he's the King? He's Jesus. He is the King. And so in Psalm 24, they're talking about the King that's coming in. And here's the way it was all going to be set up. There was two choirs. There was a choir here and a choir there. And this choir would say, this choir, one part of the choir would say, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up the ancient doors, that the King of glory comes in. So they would sing that, and the rest of the choir would go, who is the King of glory? And then he'd come back and he'd say, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord strong in battle. That's who the King of glory. And three times, back and forth, the two choirs would go like this. Lift up your gates, O you heads. Lift up your ancient door, your gates, so that the King of glory comes in. They all sing then, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty is the King of glory. All right, lift up your gates. You lift up your heavenly gate. And then they'd sing back. Why? Because the King of glory wants to come in. And there was this whole incredible atmosphere being created for the King of glory to come in into this place. And he says, lift up your doors. Lift up your gates. And what he was saying was, take off the doors. Make room in the city. Make room in your life that the King of glory can come in. Expand the heights of the doors so that the King can come in all of his glory. Who is the King? He's a warrior. When the King comes in, he dispels fear, because the warrior King is in the house. He's Lord strong and mighty. When the King comes into the city, the foundations are secure because he's strong and mighty. When the King, when we ask him to come in, he wants to eradicate fear and bring us into a place of security. I will not be afraid because the warrior king lives in me. That I will be stabilized because he's strong and mighty. I will be stabilized because he is with me. The phrase, lift up your heads, O you gates, I read this, is a poetic way of saying, take the doors off the hinges and raise the height so that the entrance may be bigger because the king is coming. It means to expand the gates. It means that God, well, one of the meanings that we can take from it is that the Lord wants to expand the gates of our praise experience. He wants to expand the gates of our experience of him in worship. He wants us to lift up off any lids that we have on him and say, hey, gates, you're not tall enough for my Jesus. You're not tall enough for my mind. You're just not able to comprehend everything. So therefore, if he shows you something new, you're not going to go, oh, that's wacky. Or you're not going to say, that is, it can't be of God. It might be just so that you might just have your gates closed. And the king wants to come in a different way. The king wants to show himself in a new way. So you have to say to your own life, you have to say to your own surroundings, here, I'm lifting off the lid. Jesus, be my king. I'm laying down my mantle. I'm laying down my palm trees. Every victory, I lay it down before you. Every mantle. In the Old Testament, the mantle was an anointing. When Elijah went to heaven, he dropped his mantle, his cloak. But it was also his mantle. Joseph had a mantle. His coat was a mantle. So they were going, oh, there's Joseph. And he'd know the mantle on Elijah from the miracles and the word of God that he brought. And they laid down in Jesus' entrance, they laid down their mantle. They laid down their cloak. If God's mantle in your life is getting in the way of God doing something new in your life, lay down your mantle. Lay it down. Lay down whatever God has showed you and say, there, God, I lay it down before you. You can write in, write on everything I already know because you might want to show me something fresh. I want to speak to the doors. I want to speak to the heights. I want to say expand. I want to say get my 10 pegs of my heart and I want to stretch them because the king wants to show me more. The king wants to do more. That we have to expand. It says that the things that we need to expand, the Bible tells us these things. He wants to expand the gates of our lives. And some of the places is he wants to expand our heads. All right, big head. Listen to what Luke says. Stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. That we must want to expand our understanding of who he is. Who our redemption is. We need to expand our understanding of praise and of worship. The Bible says we've not only to lift up our heads, but we to lift up our eyes. Psalm 123, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to you, O God, who is enthroned in heaven. We must expand and want the expansion of our vision of who Jesus is. We must want him more and more every day. We must want them to increase. That's not like I got enough of Jesus. There's never enough of Jesus. There's never enough. Someone said one time to me, no, you use Jesus as a crutch. No, I don't. I use him as my wheelchair. I'm totally dependent on him. Then we must want our vision to be expanded of Jesus. We must want them to show us more and more and more. We not only need our heads lifted up and expanded, or our eyes. This sounds like we're going to get cosmetic surgery or something. But we need to lift up and expand our hands. I will honor you. Psalm 63 says, I will honor you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you. We must want to expand our reach for the things of God. We must want it. We'll get what we want. If you want all that you have, that's all you get. But if you want more, he will make a way that we will have more. But we need to reach up for more. I lift my hands up. We need to lift up our hearts. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Lamentations. We must expand our love for him. We must expand our love for him. Now, I love Jesus. Let's expand it even more. How do we do that? By letting him love us. And in return, love him back. allowing him to heal us up so that there's places in our life that is not in love with him, that he heals it up so that we fall more in love with him. Our soul, expand our soul to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. We must expand our emotional capacity to receive his blessing. I was thinking, you know what stops me from receiving his blessing? Stuff that's in my soul. I don't think I deserve it. See, that's not in my spirit, because my spirit is being made right with God. But my emotional area, my thinking area, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be blessed. I can't receive from God the Father. All soul stuff, places where we've been broken and damaged, and it stops us from receiving stuff. We act out or we hit out at people, not because our spirit is not new and born again, but because we're acting out of our soul. And the psalmist says, I lift up my soul to you, Lord. I lift my soul, the whole realm of who I am in my mind and in my emotions, in my thinking, in my will. I lift that up to you, Lord. David said to his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was speaking to his emotions. He was speaking to his will. I'm going to make you bless the Lord. Because he was speaking from the inside out, from a spirit man to the outward man, to the emotional man, and then to the outward man. And the psalmist says we need to get an expansion of God's grace and healing and mercy on our soul. We need to lift up our voice. Isaiah says, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. We must expand our vocal expression of praise and worship. We must make our life bigger. Open up so that the King of Glory can come in. We must make our life, our gates, we must break down gates of that cause us not to expand. We must break down gates of our past experience to make a bigger entrance for Jesus the King to enter into our lives. And the kings, and the Psalm, in Psalm 24, the ultimate points to the ascension of Jesus when he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, in Ephesians it says this, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he took all the captives with him. He led out a crowd of captives. Because he descended, didn't he? And when he descended, he took the keys of hell, sin and death. And he preached while he was in hell. And he preached to all the captives. Just the same way to give them an opportunity to receive in faith, like we receive in faith that he's the King. And you can imagine Jesus in that place where everyone was being held, walking through nail-scarred hands and feet, thorns on his head, or the marks of the thorns on his head, a spear mark in his side, and he's walking to all of the captives, everyone that has ever died before he came. And he started sharing the gospel with them. He started telling them that he's the King, that he's the spotless Lamb of God, that if you believe in me, that you will rise from the dead, because I'm going to be out here in a couple of hours. And if you believe in me, you'll come. If you believe in me, you'll come with me. And all of the spirit of men that had passed on, what they had the choice to believe in faith, like we have a choice to believe in faith. And the Bible says that they did believe, or many believed, because he led a great crowd of captives out of that place. And then he goes to heaven when he rises from the dead with all of the crowd of people. And he knocks at the door and he said, open up, you ancient gates. The ancient gates were closed when men fell. When man fell, the gates were closed. And Jesus rose from the dead. And they go, and then all of the crowd shout, open up, ancient gates. The gates that were closed since Adam fell, you now open up. And you can imagine all of the angels in the celestial city saying, why should we open up? Because the King of Glory is here. And then they go, who is the King of Glory? And all of the captives says, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. That's who the King of Glory is. And the angels open up the gates. And because he opened up the gates, now all the gates are open up for mankind to be told, you can come in. You can all come in now because the King of Glory opened up the ancient gates. Amen. I think we better clap. Amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Someone says, who gets into heaven? Everyone that responds. What must we do today? When Rob and the team was singing earlier on, Rob didn't know I was preaching, and we could have put them songs together with the preach. And but we didn't tell each other what we were doing. But all them songs were like what I just preached. Hallelujah means praise. Hal means praise, and Jah means God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sang it. What else did we sing? Majesty, come on. What else did we sing? We didn't sing Hosanna. That was last week. What else did we sing? What? There's a fire. There's one before that. Mighty to save. So here's what I want us to do this morning. Can I just say, just release us to praise God. Just release us to start talking to God and pray. Start thanking him for who he is in your life, for what he's done in your life. And he'll come in a different way. He'll come now in a different way. He'll come and visit you in a different way. Start thanking him. Because when you're thanking him, you're declaring him for who he is. And even if we have to lay down, I'm telling us to lay down everything that we've known up to now about him, saying, Jesus, I'm making the gate wider. I'm taking the gates off its hinges of my life, and I say, Jesus, come on in all your majesty, in all your glory. See, we don't have to look at, they seen Jesus coming in on the donkey. We know he's the victorious king. We know he rules and reigns. We know he's not only meek and mild, but he's incredibly powerful and awesome. We know all this looking back. So we don't have to be in their position in a hoping situation. We're in a full knowledge and revelation situation. So we don't have to go, is he going to take over the Romans? He took over the whole world. We don't have to go, will he really rise from the dead? He's already risen from the dead. We don't have to live in their space. We are coming from a whole different space of who he is and what he is in our lives. And I want to release us. If you're in a cell, if you're in a prison, if you're in something in your own head, start thanking him and see will angels come and see will doors open and see will he come and see, no, will that really happen? How do you know? Don't write it off until you try it. And I'm asking you to step in faith. Lord, here I am. I'm praising you. I'm worshiping. When I get up tomorrow, I'm going to do the same. And when I walk to work, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to live this life, Lord, because I know it attracts heaven down to this place. And if there's someone here and you just have a mantle of God on you and you've had it for years, I just think God wants to take them off. Just lay them before the king and see what else he puts on you. See what new mantle he puts on you. Lord, this is what I've done. This is how I've done it. That's great. That's beautiful. That's magnificent. But I want to make a bigger way, Lord. So let's stand. Rob, will you guys come back?